there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, Stocking Stuffers. I'm Jumbo Jeff.
The Hippo.
Yes, the Hippo. And here we got Jabberin' Jay.
Hey, folks. Hey, beautiful listeners. How you doing?
Jay's here to jabber at you folks again about some movie about a monkey?
Real fast, I know, we're mostly going to talk about primate.
Going ape.
I did real fast want to, you haven't gotten a chance to see it yet, but I did want to talk about 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. Jeff, you'll hear a lot of people talk about how campy the Iron Maiden scene is. I think it's the greatest thing, maybe in the entire 28 days, weeks, years franchise. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Great, great soundtrack in Bone Temple. I think I would honestly put this top two, top three. Weeks is at the bottom because Weeks is the worst one.
I just have one question, Jay. Obviously, having not seen the movie, this question may be answered, but does Voldemort use magic to fix the zombie apocalypse?
Kind of.
Okay, good. I was wondering. I was like, surely a wizard of his caliber would be able to do something about these zombies.
Kind of.
And I was also wondering how he got his nose back, but that's neither here nor there.
He does when he does the big old Nick performance with Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast, all that stuff. He does kind of look like Voldemort in that scene.
Nice.
I wonder if that was a deliberate like kind of
probably. Kind of I mean, I can't imagine it wasn't intentional.
Anyways, primate.
Primate. By the way, I want to point out that my sister's fiance's name is Ben, and I told her to get a poster because the poster says, "There's something wrong with Ben."
Excellent.
And yes, there is, in fact, something wrong with Ben.
Yep. Also this monkey.
Yes. 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 He gets it. He knows what's up. That's why he's Jabberin' Jay.
And first thoughts, Jeff, right off the bat, I kind of did a little list of pros and cons because I didn't want to like forget any of my stuff. This is big, dumb fun. This is the biggest, dumbest, funnest horror movie I think I've seen in theaters in a while.
This is your kind of classic slasher, like harkening back to the old days where it was some kind of big, dumb, unstoppable force killing people who act really stupid. You know, just your standard thing.
Yep. It is a slasher movie that they advertised as an animal attack movie. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how they managed to like thread that needle, but yeah. Like they did. It's amazing.
Especially the, and you'll know if you've seen it or if you've seen the trailer, Ben has a text-to-speech tablet to help him communicate and he does some interesting things with it.
Also, speaking of Ben, initially I was kind of like, when I saw the trailers, I was like, oh boy, like, I don't know if I want to see a CGI monkey running around. That's a dude in a costume.
Yeah. Like, no, it's definitely enhanced with CGI, but they definitely had a motion capture guy on set like, doing
it,
the stuff.
That is practical effects. Like, I was just like, I'm like, do I really want this? And I'm like, no, that's a dude in a monkey suit. And then, yeah, they, like, CGI in, like, the face kind of, like, stuff like that. But I'm like, no, otherwise, like, looks fucking awesome. Like, looks great.
Definitely a nice physical performance from that motion capture actor.
I don't know.
I mean, we should just probably, you want to start with a plot breakdown or what you want to do?
I don't know if we want to go, like, full plot breakdown, I mean,
I mean, basically, all you need to know is Ben gets exposed to rabies, which is unlikely in Hawaii, but it has happened. And basically, he spends the rest of the movie slowly succumbing to the disease and murdering everybody that he used to love.
Yep. And
and some others.
In some wild-ass ways.
Yes. Like, I mean, you get your classics. I mean, it would not be a chimpanzee movie without somebody getting their face ripped off. I mean, that's the meme. is the chimp will rip your face off.
I was talking to someone who hadn't seen it yet. They're like, is the whole movie just basically like that monkey that ripped that lady's face off? And I'm like, that kill, in fact, happens. Yes.
Yes. He gets a lot more creative than that. But yes, that does happen. I mean, there's people fist fighting the chimpanzee, which goes about as well as you would expect. There's an actor, surprisingly interesting, he is really deaf in real life, which you could kind of tell by the way that he does the sign language and stuff and the way he reacts to things in the movie, but I thought he put in a really good performance.
He was like, nominated for best actor for Coda or mm-hmm. Where he actually is deaf.
Yes.
Speaking of which, the scene where he arrives home and is unaware that Ben is on a rampage.
Yes.
I was laughing my ass off. Like, he's walking through the house, and because he's deaf, they're doing the thing where, like, you just kind of hear the ringing on the screen or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's, like, walking in one direction, and you're watching, like, the daughters and Ben running around in the background. I loved that. Oh, my God. I was laughing my ass off.
Yes.
And I was glad that, like, they didn't have the dad get killed in that moment. I would have been, like, as much fun as that was, I was like, if the dad just gets killed right here, it's going to feel really bad. And I was glad they didn't do it.
Yes.
But yeah, that scene cracked me up. But yeah, real great kills. Do you have a favorite?
Well, one of my favorite things wasn't even a kill. It was when they fall asleep in the pool and he shimmies his way out onto the rope lights and grabs that lady's scalp off, basically, trying to haul her up out of the water.
That was great.
I thought that was really good. As far as favorite kills, probably the one where he beats the frat boy to death in the bed. I thought that ripped his jaw off. Yeah, after he's done beating him. Yeah, I thought that was really good. And then when he rolls it out to the other guy later, like, here you go.
That was one of them. The other one was the cliff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, God, I could see that. You could see it coming from a mile away, but it's still shocking when it happens.
Because they've essentially got, like, an infinity pool.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, rabies, you get hydrophobic, like the monkey's scared of water. So they're all in the water. And the guy's like, if we can lure the monkey over here, we can push it over. So he goes and he pushes it. And he's like, ha ha, I did it. And then he just gets grabbed from behind and thrown off the edge of the cliff.
Well,
and like he like dies on the rocks below. It's great. It's like,
you're going to have to give him a really good shove because it's like, obviously chimps are great climbers. So you're not going to knock him down the cliff or whatever unless you get him out where he can't get a handhold. But he gives him like kind of a half-hearted shove, and it's like, that's not nearly hard enough. And also, it's like, okay, why not, instead of just rushing at him blindly like that, he should have been like, okay, I'm going to rush him. You guys try to run while I'm doing that. But instead, they just watch him get pulled to his death. I thought that was pretty funny.
He's like standing there. He's kind of bragging. He's like, oh, that wasn't so hard.
Yeah. But no, I thought it. And moral of the story, folks, if you're going to have a chimpanzee on your property, keep a gun around so you can shoot it.
Jeff, soundtrack made me think of The Fog. It felt very Carpenter-esque, very synthy. I got
heavy John Carpenter vibes from the soundtrack. I'm wondering if the composer was a fan.
It had to be. Like, I guess. I'm sitting there and like the whole time, like I'm like, this feels like the Fog especially. But, like, felt like a Carpenter score.
Somebody was like, I guess it's an enjoyable enough movie if you can stomach everybody making the dumbest decisions possible. And it's like, oh, you mean like every slasher movie ever?
Right.
And it's like, yeah, 90% of slasher movies would end if anybody had any common sense.
One of my issues to that point was, like, and like understanding that, like, the monkey's hydrophobic and has rabies, blah, blah, blah. The running back and forth to the pool, just like, I'm just like, why this? Like, I understood why, and like the monkey's afraid of water. Mm-hmm. But like, I think it would have been so much more interesting if they're like, if you got more of them, like trying to find places to hide within the house. Like, yeah. I got real kind of bored. I'm like, we're running back to the pool again. Okay. Which I know is like kind of a little dumb little thing to nitpick on, but I was just kind of like, really? Okay.
Well, you saw what happened when they tried to leave the pool.
Right.
That wasn't great.
I just, like, one of the scenes I liked was, like, the scene in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really enjoyed that part. I really enjoyed, like, the scene in the bed.
Yes.
I enjoyed, like, the scene in the car.
I thought the fight on the patio was cool. And both, like, versions.
And, like, I would have liked more of, like, using the house, using that whole set for, like, stuff. And I felt like it was kind of limited in that aspect. I would have liked a little bit more of that.
God, him unlocking the car. It's pretty funny.
That was so good. Speaking of it, so like a girl's able to get some keys and she escapes and she gets to a car, but it turns out the keys she has are for a car that's not the car
she grabbed the keys for the family car in the house or whatever, but she didn't realize that those idiots had pulled up and left their car out there that's very similar.
Yep.
And so she got into the wrong car, and then before she could switch cars, Ben's out there.
Yep. And so then the monkey is able to like unlock the car and murders her in the
she locks it, and then he's like, unlock.
Yep.
Because he has the keys because he killed the guy who drove the car there.
And what I loved was the I love like him like murdering her in the car, like rips like you get a bunch of like gnarly like bone and muscle like gore effect.
You think she's gonna get away too at one, and then she gets like yanked back through the door.
And what I was really hoping for was the movie The Prowler. I was hoping for like a mid credit or like post credit scene of someone like being like, well, I gotta haul this car away, and then he gets inside and he finds the dead body in the backseat.
That would be pretty funny.
That's one of my favorite parts of The Prowler, is that like there are these two bodies up in a dorm room, and the whole movie's ended, and they're like, all right, you know, the terror's done, and then it goes up to the bathroom and finds the bodies.
I also learned an interesting thing after the movie, because they're like, Ben got bit by a mongoose and got rabies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, mongoose have rabies? Apparently 90% of mongoose carry rabies.
I did not know that.
But they're immune to the effects of it, but they can still pass it to you. So like, they won't die from it, but they can still give it to you for bite.
Okay.
So yeah, apparently it's a pretty big problem.
I did feel that the thing, like, and you mentioned it, like, there's not a lot of rabies in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
There was the weird line where like someone's like, there's no rabies in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And oh, we'll run the test again. And then just nothing happens with that. I was like, why have that line in there?
Well, because it takes like 24 hours to actually test for rabies, and you have to have the brain sample from the animal or whatever. I'm guessing he just decided not to wait for the second test results after he couldn't get a hold of them.
But it felt so weird. I was just kind of saying, I'm
guessing they probably put that in there to explain why he would leave or whatever, because he was like, well, it's not something serious like rabies, so I'll still go do my book thing.
Right. But, yeah, just, I don't know. I was like, why have that in there and then be like, nah, I'm going back anyway. Like,
no, see, I was hoping for a, since they're like, they're clearly doing some kind of research on this island or whatever, I was hoping for a post-credit scene where another rabid mongoose is getting into like a chimp's enclosure.
I thought we would get something like that, or I thought we'd get some kind of like 28 days later, where you see like kind of the virus being like, yeah, the monkey being like, or the mongoose being experimented on, and it escapes like habitation. And, you know, you're kind of following like a POV shot of that through the jungle, or I don't know, the forests of Hawaii, and then, you know, runs through two bars and you're like, oh, the mongoose like got away or whatever. And then Ben just comes and grabs it, and like bites it or whatever. And
yeah. Would have been cool. But no, solid movie. Really enjoyed it.
Another thing that like, I thought it was weird that the boy was charging his phone in the house.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, but why would his phone not be poolside? They're hanging out poolside. Why? I know how kids these days are. They have their phones with them all. He would have 100% taken his charger and been charging his phone by the
He
pool.
May have been distracted by something else, Jay.
That's very true. Also, speaking of the girls, boy, we had a real Black Christmas 2006 where, like, the three, like, other than the little sister, who's just noticeably younger, the three girls all looked exactly the fucking same.
You could
same.
Barely tell the difference between them, yeah.
Like, which one am I supposed to care about?
The only way I was able to tell is like, okay, so one of them is half Asian or half Hawaiian, one of the two, like native Hawaiian.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the only way you could tell these girls apart, basically. But even then, you have to really look to tell the difference.
No, I'm just sitting there, I'm like, listen, am I supposed to care about that one? There's the one that's the there's the one that's like the mean girl that we're not supposed to like. Which one's she?
And honestly, I liked the mean girl the most because she was the most practical.
Yes, she was like the smartest one of
the most useful. Like, I mean, the movie probably would have ended like at the very beginning when she gets out of the pool to get the phone or whatever. If that other mean girl hadn't come out to distract Ben, he would have just bit our main character.
Yep. But overall I enjoyed it.
It's a fun movie.
The nitpicks are pretty small, but it was one of those where I'm just like, I got a couple weird like things where I'm like, are we sure we do this? And like I said, I would have liked more terror in the house. Like, I was surprised no one went to like grab a knife out of the kitchen and we get some kind of like,
That's the thing too, is it's like, I mean, it is a slasher movie. It's like, realistically, if a gang of adult humans had knives or whatever, they could kill a chimpanzee, even if it was rabid.
Right.
Because it's, as we see at the end, he's not immune to damage.
Yep. Oh man, that I was watching it too. Spoiler right here. They even did the like, you think the killer's dead and they get up for one last.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, loved it.
It's like, basically it's a love letter to classic slashers, but this time it's a monkey.
Like, well, no,
an ape.
This did so much better than like you and I hated In a Violent Nature.
So bad.
And like other than the
one memorable kill.
Yeah, the yoga kill. Like, if In a Violent Nature had been this, I would be right there with people who are like, yeah, it's a love letter to slasher movies. Like, no, that like that wasn't. This is.
I mean, it's barely a slasher movie.
It's, yeah. I loved this. I thought it was so much fun.
Primate, big thumbs up.
Yeah, I would absolutely go see this while you have a chance in theaters. Like, we're eating good. I'm gonna say that for horror movie fans this year so far, like 2 for 2. 28 Years Later, Bone Temple and Primate. We're eating good.
That's two thumbs way up from Jabber and Jay and Big Jumbo Jeff the Hippo.
However, us horror fans who are eating good, we do have some sad news to report.
A moment of silence for Thanksgiving 2.
Thanksgiving 2 has been indefinitely shelved or something.
This is what is so confusing about this. People are acting like, okay, the movie is being made, it's almost done or whatever, it's coming out. Then they were like, okay, it's going to come out a little bit later than we expected. And now Eli Roth is like, actually, we haven't even worked on the movie at all.
We're waiting for everyone's schedules to be clear.
And it's like, okay.
Who gives a fuck?
Basically, from what people were saying last year was the movie was almost done. Like, it had been filmed or whatever, they were editing it, it was supposed to come out, then it got delayed a little bit. And it was supposed to come out this year. And then, yeah, now it's like, yeah, actually, there is no movie.
Which means all that reporting of people saying, like, oh, it's coming out next year. Oh, sorry, we're a year behind, but it's coming out next year. To then be like, oh, it's coming out again next year. To then be like, no, it's not coming out.
It's the fucking George R. R. Martin shit at this point. It's like, you haven't even started it yet?
No, I saw that news came out yesterday as we're recording this. And I was just, I literally, like, my shoulders slumped. I was just like, are you kidding me? This is...
Oh, and speaking of delays on things, did you see the latest statements from George R. R. Martin? That fat, lazy bastard.
Wasn't there something along the lines of, like, I want to finish The Winds of Winter? Yeah, we all want you to, George.
He's like, I want to work on it, but I just have too many other things taking up my time. You know, like, it's only been a couple years or something he's been working on this. It has been 14 fucking years since a Game of Thrones book has come out.
One of my friends who on Discord was like, I started reading, like, I read, like, through these books. My grandpa and I read them together, and we talked about them. My grandpa died waiting for Winds of Winter to come out. And he's like, problem is, I'm probably going to die, and it's not going to come out because he's going to have died. Like,
he keeps saying every time he's asked about it, there's 1,100 pages written. He's like, I'm almost done with it. And it's like, he does that every time. And it's like, you can't be almost done at 1,100 pages. There's no way. That's like a fourth done from the plot lines you've set up.
It's the same thing with the Community movie, where it's Joel McHale's fault, reportedly. He's the one who's too busy to film the Community movie. And it's like, So stop taking roles, Joel, so we can get this fucking movie filmed.
Yes, while everybody's still alive.
Like, if you wouldn't be in the new Scream movie, maybe we'd have fucking Community now. Like,
yeah, but no, I'm so...
It's real hot dog. We're all trying to find the guy who did this.
Yes, I could not believe that shit when I saw his statements. Like, he's acting like, you know, it's our fault because he's got other stuff to do. And it's like, one, you're choosing to do all this bullshit. Nobody's asking for it.
Yep.
And two, 14 years. We're not talking, it's like, when you get over a decade and you haven't done something, it's because you don't want to do it. It's not because you haven't had time.
Oh, no. Now he's getting paid to fucking come up with the background, the lore for Elden Ring.
Well, like, and he's been done with that since 2019. Because he keeps using that as an excuse. I got video game projects I'm working on. It's like, you haven't worked on a video game project for 5 years, George.
And in the same press release, didn't he also say that he was something like pivoting away from like the television shows?
Yes.
Like he's like, Dragons, whatever. Like, he's like, I'm not really blood and fire or whatever.
Fire and blood, yeah.
He's like, I'm that's not really my show anymore. I'm not really involved with that. Cool, then fucking write the goddamn book.
Oh, no, he's been busy, you know, consulting on a million other Game of Thrones, including a Game of Thrones sequel series. So he's going to make a sequel series to a thing he hasn't even finished yet?
Sounds about right.
I mean, it's getting to the point of being fucking ridiculous. And then he has the balls to act offended when somebody at a convention was like, okay, George, you're not going to be around that much longer. So what's going to happen with the book? And then he acts all offended. It's like, okay, you are fat and almost 80 years old. How long do you think you're going to live, George?
Yeah.
I mean, at the current pace that he's writing, even if he lived another 2 decades, he wouldn't be done.
Yeah, we're never getting it.
It's not. People need to just give up hope.
And yeah, all that to bring it back around. At this point, we're probably not getting Thanksgiving
too. There's no Thanksgiving too. But
that's a real disappointment.
If it ever does come out, it will be so long removed from the first one that nobody's going to care.
Yep. Like, you had your chance and you fucked it up.
Yes, like, it's like, there's a reason why you're supposed to strike while the iron is hot. People were excited. People liked Thanksgiving. And then, yeah, there's just been radio silence on a sequel.
And especially for it being Eli Roth, somebody that a lot of, like, horror fans, I would say, are divided on.
Yes.
And to have a movie that, like, got people excited and had people talking, to then be like, yeah, we're going to do a sequel, and then nothing.
Well, and the thing that kills me is, slashers are dirt cheap to make. They're fast to film, you know? I mean, it take a couple weeks, probably, to shoot the movie. And it's like, you guys can't fit that in somewhere.
Agreed. Yeah, it's just real disappointing.
It's like, it's yet again. They just don't want to.
Yep. No, if they wanted to, Thanksgiving 2 would be coming out. Yes. Yeah.
But you know, we don't get good things, Jay. We just keep getting more garbage.
Yeah, but at least we got Primate. So
that's true.
I'll bring it back around. Primate was at least good. Go see Primate.
And once again, proving Hollywood has absolutely no idea what people want. So January is a dump month where they put movies they don't think will do anything because it's the least profitable box office month. And it's like, okay, so you released one of the best slasher movies in like a decade in the dump month.
Yep.
Because they're like, oh, nobody will like this.
I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking. They had the guy. I've said this to you, I know, Jeff. They had the guy who wrote that movie Afraid on, and he said, oh no, they pushed back the release date of that movie because they were afraid of it competing with Kraven the Hunter. And I'm like, what studio executive, looking at all the failures of the Sony Spider-Man like movies, the Venom ones have been moderate successes, but like looking at the Kravens or looking at the Morbiuses and the Madame Webbs, and they're like, no, but they're going to turn it around with Kraven. We can't be putting out a different movie opposite Kraven the Hunter. It'll make no money.
Okay. And it's like, honestly, for Venom is not really a success. I mean, it's a success by Sony standards. But if you take, okay, Tom Hardy, like widely beloved actor in one of the most popular IPs Marvel owns,
yep,
the Spider-Man universe, and they barely, you know, break even most of the time.
Yep.
It's like, that's, it's just, and it's like, not only did they end that franchise for no particular reason, because they could have kept doing Venom forever.
Yeah, they could have kept doing Venom
like,
shit.
Honestly, it's probably because Tom Hardy's like, I'm tired of making these fucking movies. But then they do a spinoff movie with, I mean, I love Fat Russell Crowe, but he ain't going to be drawing in the box office crowds, Jay.
But yeah, it's wild to me that like the people who make the decisions that like we're going to put Primate in January are the same people who went, oh, we can't put our movie out opposite Kraven the Hunter.
And by the way, I want to point out that Kraven the Hunter came out in December, one of the hottest box office months. Besides May and July, I think December is the top.
Exactly, yes.
And so they believed in Kraven that much that they put it in a prime spot.
And then it fucking flopped because it was dog shit.
Of course it did, because it's fucking Kraven the Hunter.
But yeah, those are the people who are then also making the decisions. We're going to put 28 years later Bone Temple and Primate out in January because no one will want to see those. Like, yeah. That tells you everything you need to know.
And you know the only way Kraven the Hunter would have worked, Jay, was if James Gunn had directed it.
Yep.
People need to stop being, oh, we could just take a minor character, okay, and make him super popular. It's like, no, you're not Jon Favreau. You're not James Gunn. You can't do it.
Yeah, it only works in these very specific scenarios.
It's very specific scenarios. You have to have an actor that nobody sees coming. You have to have an excellent director in the snappy dialogue and fun. You can't have the hyper-serious tone of a Sony picture, which still blows my mind that that's the tone. It's like, okay, you watched how the Snyderverse crashed and burned, and you're still trying to do gritty, realistic superheroes.
Yep. We want our superheroes to look like we want our superheroes to look like the comic book versions. That's why people liked the Deadpool Wolverine movie. Like,
it was like they didn't learn from the last time they did a horrible CGI monstrosity monster. It's like the Rhino looks like fucking Doomsday from fucking Batman v Superman.
Yep. Remember the scene where he just like screams in the kitchen for no reason? I think that's my favorite part of that whole movie.
That is, I mean, like I said, it's not terrible. I like Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's good. Honestly thought he did a decent job portraying Kraven. The problem is nobody gives a fuck about Kraven.
Yep.
People barely even care about Kraven when he's fighting Spider-Man, let alone in his own movie.
Looping it back to, you know, studio executives. Jeff, did you know a new Dracula movie's coming out, like, later this month or early next month?
I did, and it looks amazing, but there's been absolutely no advertisement for it at all.
Walked out of the theater for Primate, turned a corner, and looked at a poster and went, huh, there's a new Dracula movie coming out.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Christoph Waltz is Van Helsing. Are you fucking kidding me? Nobody's advertising this at all.
Mind was blown. I went, well, shit, I want to see this at least. Like,
I watched the trailer for it, and I'm like, okay, well, this looks way better than Nosferatu to me, so I'm definitely going to check this out.
But yeah, anyways.
Speaking of Nosferatu, we're going to make that same movie again, but this time werewolf.
I mean, I'm excited. I'll watch it.
I'm using all the same people, too, so don't question me.
If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Tell us your thoughts on Primate, 28 years later, Bone Temple, Kraven the Hunter, I guess. All those things. Also, get in touch with us on social media. We are all the places. At Horror for Holidays, that's Horror the number 4 Holidays.
YouTube.com/Horror for the Holidays. Hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, hit the thumbs up. George R. R. Martin, if you're listening to this podcast instead of writing your fucking book, leave me a comment defending your fat, lazy ass on our video.
George, we're fat, lazy guys ourselves. Exactly. We know what a fat guy looks like.
Exactly. I know. You know why I know you're bullshitting, George? Because this is exactly the same kind of shit I would do if people were waiting for me to write a sequel to a book that I had no interest in writing.
Well, next week, Christmas Podcast Network, all that good stuff.
I'm sure they're gonna love this episode.
Yeah, go check them out. There's better stuff than this. Go listen to the Christmas Podcast Network.
We are the greatest show that has ever existed. 2026 Jeff is also a Horror for the Holidays supremacist.
Also, rate, review, subscribe on your podcatcher choice.
Zero stars.
Zero stars if I could. Let us know you're an actual listener by giving us 5 stars, but titling it 0 stars if I could. Jeff, next week we're ramping up to Valentine's Day, and we're gonna have Angel from Buffy.
Oh boy.
Booth from Bones. We got Valentine with David Boreanaz.
Oh shit. We're having man bones?
Yep. We got man bone, but no lady bone.
No lady bones.
Yeah. Denise Richards, I think. Maybe. I don't know.
That sounds like the lady from Star Trek.
But David Boreanaz, star of one of the Crow spinoffs.
But you all know him as Man Bones.
He's Bones' husband. He's like, Bones, look at this bone. And she's like, not now, we're at work anyways. Thanks for listening.
Classic.
Bye.